Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country will stop working on the Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, biscuit babies, you wanted him, you got him. Mark Alford Jr., Black and Gold Podcast. How are you, my man?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I got to tell you, the Bruins are kind of my nemesis as an Ohio sports fan. It seems like the Red Sox, the Bruins are always just kicking my ass. Until Tom Brady made me love him. Boston sports, dude.
Yeah, it's a special place to live. Nothing but the best, not to boost the ego at all, but kind of wish my bees were a little more involved in the championship, gathered of rings, because we could use that pep around here. But the Bruins get overshadowed by the Patriots big time and the Red Sox and Celtics, so
yeah,
definitely a fourth-ranked sport in the city.
And isn't that fucked up?
It is. It's the baddest fucking sport in the whole city, and it's the worst ratings. I'm not a big football guy anymore. I used to be, but Deflategate and all the cheating crap really got to me, so I just stopped watching.
Damn, and it's like the baddest unis too, the fucking Black and Gold. I mean, you figure seems like that city, I mean, historically has always been a hockey city, but fucking Tom Brady, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing. I got to give him credit for a quote. He's the best.
I just had the Montreal Canadiens season preview before this, and the gentleman at the end was very, very nice to Boston. I was surprised. You got anything you'd like to say to Montreal fans?
No, not really. I am a huge proprietor of history. I love doing research on the Bees first and foremost, but I'm really versed in the overall, the buildings of the other franchises that came into the league, and Montreal's it's a class act organization. It really is, and it's a historic organization, even though that they're a bunch of diving bitches sometimes. But
there it is. That's all I wanted. I wanted one little thing. That's all I needed, man. That's great. All right, buddy. We went 44-31-7. Lost to Ottawa in six. There was the health issues come playoff time. There wasn't much of a chance, but what do you think about some of the moves they've made this season, this offseason, if they have at all, I mean, basically all they've done is lost Dominic Moore, and that's about all.
Well, they lost Don Moore. He went to Toronto. Jimmy Hayes, goodbye. He's he got bought out at his final contract. I'm not sure about the other subtractions, but the additions have been small. Kenny Agostino is a proven goal scorer in the American Hockey League. Not many games in the St. Louis Blues organization that I remember, but he's a depth. He's a depth addition to me, and he's going to challenge some young kids for and even some of the current contracted players for a position on the Bruins this season. And bringing in Paul Postma as a seventh D, basically taking over for Joe Morrow. He's going to be eating the popcorn a lot up in the ninth floor, so I don't see him getting a lot of time. I think his signing from Winnipeg as a free agent on July 1, I believe, was more or less an insurance policy in case the prospects that are coming through the system at a rapid pace because of the recent draft picks that they had in 14, 15, and 16, and even last year, well, not so many last year, but in the past couple of years, I'm really knocking on the door to get some time in the NHL.
Dude, you guys have been fucking drafting your asses off, dude.
I believe so, and one of my I'm also a writer, not only a podcast host, but I write for the blackandgoldhockeyblog.com. And I have a team of eight writers, a great team of guys. But my primarily, I cater to the prospects. So I get a kick out of getting information to the people that want to know now, instead of waiting for the guy to see him on TV the first time and not know what the hell, you know, he's all about and anything about him. So I know it's one of my hobbies to get people updated for the people, for the players that are coming through the system.
Well, my favorite player coming through the system now, and I'm a huge Notre Dame hockey fan, is Mr. Bjork. I think he's going to do big things for you guys. What's your take on him?
Let me just celebrate Mr. Bjork by doing this.
Hey, cheers, bud. I think you're the first person to join me in a cold one on here.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Dude, I've been fucking slamming beers on this podcast for a year or so, you know, and I think that's the first crackback I've heard, so you're the man.
Are you Boston? what were you saying? I forgot.
Oh, yeah, we were cheersing to Bjork. Oh. Anders Bjork, and basically I wanted to get your take on him. I've seen him play at Notre Dame, and he's a fucking he's a game changer, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is amazing. I gotten the privilege to see him a couple games at Notre Dame just via TV, national stream. And on national TV, but not the whole season. So my sample size of his playing is small, but I do attend all off-season Bruins events. I go to training camp, I go to rookie camp, and I even go to development camp. And I basically spend my work schedule around Bruins events. So every time I take a vacation, I am in Boston. So I'm not close to the team as in media, more or less. A vulture that's circling around waiting for a media pass.
Hey, dude, you keep up the good work. That'll change, my man.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and anybody out there that is podcasting or writing, hound the people. Don't take rejection as a downfall. Just keep emailing, and sooner or later they will notice that you're interested. So,
dude, absolutely. There's a lot to that. I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I'd get Scott Parker on my podcast. But
that was an amazing show, man.
Oh, thank you, dude.
That's one of the better shows I've heard. And the other one was really good. Was the beard?
Oh yeah, the beard was great, dude.
Yeah, I love that one, man. It was really good.
But I think my three favorite have been the Scott Parker, the fourth line voice, and the beard were just. It felt like I was just fucking slamming beers with my buddies. It was great.
That's awesome.
But Scott Parker, man, I mean, I just emailed him. It was just, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to celebrate your career. And he was totally fucking susceptible to it and was just like, okay. And, you know, I had to keep hounding him a little bit, but he came on and was just incredible, dude. And that's like awesome. Besides like getting married and having children, that's like one of the best moments of my life. It was, I talked to a fucking Stanley Cup champion, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having the first of my podcast on Sunday. I'm having my first former Bruins player. So if you want to listen, go to Black and Gold Hockey Podcast on iTunes or wherever you can find it. And
can you tell me who you're having? Can you tease me a little bit? Or what era?
He played from 1981 to 1983 with the Bruins.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm listening. That's sick.
Yeah, and I'm going to definitely ask this gentleman about being a talented forward that was not great in size, but playing against giants. So it's going to be a great, great show, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you got a gentleman that's doing that right now in Brad Marchand, and he really had a breakout season last year. Still doing his little, you know, couple slew foots here and there, but
that fucking pisses me off,
dude. What the fuck does he do that shit for?
I don't know. I mean, are you trying to get a competitive edge because you're the smaller dude? You know what I mean?
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. But you know, I'm a diehard Bruins fan, and you know, I'll be the biggest apologist too. But when I see something stupid, you're definitely gonna get called out.
Who is the one on, I believe it was Cronwall, was just so bad.
That was terrible.
And you're, you know, you mentioned, the only thing I could think of is he wants a competitive edge, but you're an elite player already, dude. What do you do? Like, you don't have to do that shit.
Right. Any player that you slew foot or you dirty hit or low below near the knees and not the hip, all you're doing is, you know, you can outskate that guy by two strides to get away and make something happen offensively. That guy is like so totally gifted. That is, I mean, he can be the agitator. I understand that. But it gets him into so many troubles and it leaves him, you know, in a position, or at least the Bruins in a position of, you know, you don't want to go in. You don't want to go in the penalty kill. That's the biggest thing. Is so you don't want to kill penalties or the player like that in the box.
Now, I saw a change in him from the World Cup on. It seemed like he kind of turned into a different caliber player, and I don't know if it was. I mean, obviously he's surrounded by talent and always has been, but I don't know if he was like, well, fuck, dude, I want to be Sidney Crosby. I can do this shit, and like. Just he took his game to a different level and really put that team on his back last season to get them to where they made it too. With I think if they would have been a little more healthy, they would have had a better chance at Ottawa. But then Ottawa caught fucking heat at the right time too.
Yeah, the one thing about Ottawa that frustrates me is they outskated us, and this is why I plead. To Bruins management to, I mean, I think it's happening. I'm seeing a trend here, but I'm thinking that this franchise is going to start getting on board of other franchises in the league that want to go with four lines of depth. You know what I mean?
It's inevitable. That's just the way it's going, yeah?
Right. Right. So, and I believe the past couple of years when you're trying to get away with veterans that you signed for long term, which were, you know, the good plays and everything, but it was just dumb deals. I mean, you kept yourself so at the cap ceiling for years that you couldn't make any moves, and you were relying on entry level contracts to come in just under the bar. You know,
and well, you still got. I mean, you can't get rid of McQuaid or Miller though. You know, and those are tough motherfuckers.
Sooner or later, I'm not a McQuaid fan. I'm going to flat out say that right now. I love his intensity. I love his passion. I love the way he sticks up for players. I just don't like his defensive game. And I don't believe that a player should be on there for one or two purposes. I believe you should have an all-around game to help out the team. I love fighting. I really do. I don't think it should be out of the game. Absolutely not. But I'm not for the guy that sits at the bench, down at the end of the bench for 5 or 6 minutes a game and just wasting a roster spot. I want to see that intensity in a player that could put 20 goals, 30 assists, you know what I mean? On a fourth line, third line role that could still kick some fucking ass.
Yeah, I feel you. Do you think it's a tough spot because I think some of these dudes are, they get almost like gun shy, like, oh yeah. Shit, I shouldn't be taking a shot. I think what would help is if some of these guys like Kevin Miller or McQuaid or one of my favorites who plays well in Anaheim last year, Jared Bull, if they just shot more, that people could actually see that, oh, these fuckers can still play, but they get into this role and they kind of just stick into it, and then, you know, it's almost like they feel bad showing what they can do, you know, if that makes right. sense.
No, it does, absolutely. You know, everybody plays a role, and unfortunately, they got their opportunity to do what they were doing at the best of their abilities.
For sure,
I commend that. Every one of those guys that went through that and did what they had to do to make this. You know, I mean, you made it to the ultimate level. Most, you know, what's funny is most of them made it because they were actually really good in junior hockey.
Oh yeah, they all fucking killed it in juniors.
Yeah, but most of them were all told that, you know, if you want to make it to that next level, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, so then they end up fighting their way through, you know, the AHL, and then, yeah. It's exactly. It's a weird thing, that position. So Chara is turning, 75 this season?
Yeah. Like, you're my new best friend, buddy.
Jesus Christ, dude.
He'll be 40. He'll be 40 and slowing down, of course. He's going to be on his last year. This next season is going to be his last year, and his cap hit goes from hovering around $7 million down to $4 million. So there is some flexibility for the Bruins right there to do something, but, you know, trying to lock up Pasternak is an issue. But going back to Chara, I like the way he plays. I like what he does for the younger players, and he's a good, intense guy, and he's a good captain. I do believe that. But like I said earlier, with the guys that are down in Providence, Jeremy Rosin, Jakub Sporl, Grizzlick, and the other crew, that Ryan Lindgren in college, these guys are going to need time sooner or later. So Resigning Chara, to me, impedes their
Can't fucking happen, dude. Can't fucking happen. And right. I think it'd be a dick move on his part if he asked for that. It's time for him to step aside. I wouldn't hate if he stayed with the organization and, worked with them. I mean, I think he's got a place in hockey there still, but even just to make his sweater is costing them fucking a ton of money, because it's goddamn like 6 foot long.
Yeah, it's like a party tent.
Yeah, he's a fucking... It's so true, though, dude. I'd like to see it off of him, like, just to see how big that fucking thing is.
I kind of get the feeling, and I'm not an insider. I'm just a hack blogger with a decent office and a good studio. But I don't know anything about anybody. But I have a feeling that I think he's going to stick around. I think he wants to retire as a Bruin, but I think he's going to stick around in the city, not on the team. He recently got his realtor license. So in Massachusetts. So I think by doing that, it's just proves that he wants a realtor.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. Chara Holmes? Holy fuck, dude. That's brilliant.
Chara Remax.
Holy shit. No,
Could you see him in the big red white balloon over Boston?
Fuck yeah, I could. I absolutely could see that. Holy shit. Well, it makes sense, and I don't want to see him in another sweater. And I'm not a Chara fan, and I don't want to see him go somewhere else. I think the right move for him is to get this team as far as he can this season, and then hang the C up and let's get the next generation going, because the way you guys have been drafting and the talent that is in Providence and coming up, we can really start to make waves here.
Oh yeah. And that's definitely the idea, is to, this Bruins team is not ready right now on paper to make a serious run. They weren't even ready last year when they barely made the playoffs. This is going to be a process of 2 or 3 years coming down the road with the additions of these young forwards and young defensemen coming through. Who knows about a goaltender? Tuukka's locked up for until I believe 2021.
How do you think he is? I'm worried about him. I've heard he had groin surgery, and I gotta say this.
I thought it was funny the other show when you said you didn't like the way you looked.
Oh, his fucking face bothers me so much, dude.
Dude, I was at freaking work, and I busted out laughing, and my coworker's like, dude, are you all right? I'm said, dude, listen to the biscuit and shut up.
Yeah, you would know. Yeah, exactly. My co-host, my younger brother, swears to God that he's the dude that sings that Put It on the Ritz song. He'll fucking send it to me every couple weeks and be like, dude, Tuukka Rask is a great singer, dude. And he fucking does look – he looks like the Fly to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. His fucking face – but now I'm worried about his fucking – his dick area, dude.
I've seen his wife, so she's lucky. Terribly inconsistent. That's what I can say about Tuukka Rask. I've been following him even before he was Toronto Maple Leaf property and drafted. Definitely a good trade, though. I will give those guys credit for trading Andrew Raycroft for Tuukka. But the thing with Tuukka, and I got to tell you, if you lived in Boston, buddy, you would. It gets annoying, but yeah, you'd probably like it. But there's a lot of haters. Oh, it's terrible.
Dude, you know I love that shit.
Oh, I know you do. But, it's the thing is like, you hate so much, but you don't understand what's behind him. There's nobody in the organization that's going to step in his role right now because of what he makes. And a big part of that is everybody's bitching about how much he makes. Let me tell you something. He did not negotiate that contract. That thing was slid over to him, and he could not sign it quick enough.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, man. That's a great point.
So, you know what I mean? If you're going to do anything, you go back to Peter Chiarelli, you go up to Edmonton, and wring that fucker's neck and bitch at him.
Well, you know what? What are you going to do behind him? They don't have a fucking netminder behind him.
I mean, you could possibly find some faith in Zane McIntyre or a 2010 draft pick, but in his games this year, while he was covering for Hudobin, nobody could get a win.
Dude, I mean, Malcolm Subban's one of the fucking wins. Worst goalies I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I mean, I've been watching him too for years. He's inconsistent and real bad inconsistency, but he's real athletic. He's aggressive. He really wants to come down and cut down that angle. But the biggest thing is, he comes down and cuts that angle down, and he makes a great save, but he can't get back in time.
Yep.
I mean, he's athletic and he moves around, but he doesn't not move that fast. A couple of years ago, he took a shot in the throat from Seth Griffith up in Portland, Maine, at the Portland Civic Center in a pregame warm-up, and fractured his larynx.
Jesus.
It got to the point that he was on the ice, and he noticed that he couldn't breathe. And he got right off the ice into an ambulance and immediately to the emergency room for operation.
Now, he's not a big man either, is he?
No, I mean, he's not. He's a little smaller than PK. You've seen PK out of gear, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's a little smaller than that, but he's a typical goaltender. You know what I mean? You're not there for bulk and everything like that. You're pretty much lanky and, you know.
Yeah.
So you can loop around with some reflexes and maneuverability.
Well, that took a shit on Bob, not this last season, obviously, but the previous season. He was focused on gaining some weight, and it really fucked with his game.
Man. Bobrovsky is an amazing story to me. The whole Philadelphia experiment, that was interesting. And then coming over to Columbus, I didn't know what is it Jarmo Kekalainen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just didn't understand what angle he was going with that. But after I leave the first year, I was like, wow,
yeah,
a change.
It fucking paid off, man.
Yeah, yeah, but then that year that you're talking about, last season, not this season, but the season before, just atrocious.
Yeah, it was so weird, and then you hear this, like, he just all of a sudden started training differently and thinking about
his diet.
Yeah, thinking of, yeah, like
diet change, everything like that.
All this shit that had been working for. Season. Yeah, what the fuck?
Silver.
Yeah, is he sober?
It's amazing. Oh, so no, the goaltender's award. I forgot.
Already. Oh, the Vezina.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, if he's sober, I'm not a fan. I can't get behind a fucking Russian that doesn't drink, dude. I can't do it.
No, I said silver.
Oh,
it's my Boston accent. I get it all the time.
Yeah, but he's turned into something else. I think it's gonna be interesting for Boston. If Tuukka heals okay with his groin surgery, because that's a big part of his game, you know, is being flexible.
And, right.
What's
that? 100% right now, and will be fully involved in.
He is
in workouts. Yep.
No shit. Well, see, I haven't heard that. Well, that's good. That's fucking great news.
Corey Krug is on time too. He has shoulder surgery. Nola Bolchari, same thing. I think everybody's going to be healthy with going into camp. I don't see anybody else that I can think of right now.
I'm going to play a recognition game here with you. I'm going to say some things and see if you get what I'm putting down.
All right.
Thornton, Kessel,
bad.
Sagan, Wheeler, Pasternak.
Oh.
Yeah, what's going to fucking happen with this kid? He's not going to become in that list of young dudes that get traded out of Boston, is he?
No, I don't believe so.
He fucking can't, right?
He's got RFA rights, so he's technically got till December 1st. After December 1st, the season's done. He sits. So it's either you sign before then or you sit and hold out, blah, 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 whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. The kid is passionate about not only playing on this team, but his surroundings. He loves Boston. He absorbs this like a sponge on a, you know, picking up sloppy beer off of a trough at a bar. You know, he loves this shit. He loves it. And I just think that what's happening now is more or less now it's a leverage thing. It's like, what can you get more and this and that? And the money right now is playing a huge role in the potential lockout that's coming up.
I think it better not happen.
I know. Depressing times. I seriously went and saw Help.
Another one? Like, God damn, it just seemed like that last one was like a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, it's just useless. And unfortunately, the owner of my team is the one that, you know, pretty much started it all, because he's got so much man love for Gary Bettman.
Oh, God, dude. Fucking. Now, I heard a lot of it was going to see on how much Draisaitl ended up getting paid, and he got paid pretty well.
Yeah, he got the $8 million.
He got the eight.
Year.
So they're going to have to just pay the kid, man.
If you're going to do a comparison on Draisaitl, which was pretty much the last 2 months that I've heard that, you know, it's pretty much right around him. You can gauge anybody else too in his draft class or anybody sooner, but it's all going to come down to. I mean, hopefully, I'd like to see him at 6 years. I think that's a very, very fair offer. And you know, maybe the bonuses will you know, be better than what his eyes see, and he actually jumps on it. But you can't get rid of this guy. And that list kind of made me wonder. I was just kind of like, when she said Thornton, I was like thinking, all right, you're a tough guy podcast. So Sean.
Dude, I just
like giving off names, and I'm just gonna go right after that. But
it was fucking. What's crazy is I just my buddy from the Fourth Line Voice sent me some fucking hockey cards today, and Sean Thornton's one of them, dude.
Nice. Sean's a class act, man.
Fuck yeah, he is. He's a bad motherfucker too.
Yeah, and so many people got pissed off at him because he didn't take the job that Jeremy Jacobs offered him. Did you hear about that?
No.
Let me talk. Let me crack a beer. Talk.
My brother from another mother.
the Bruins the organization offered him a position in Boston because he lives in Charlestown. And he still has a house there, and he's going to come back summers and so on. He said no, flat out. And then, obviously, everybody, you know, went in panic mode. Because that's what we do around here in Boston, is we overreact about everything. So he was playing it smart. I mean, I'm a golfer. I love golfing. There's nothing like going out in the sun and drinking a ton of beers and driving around a freaking car that you can actually drive, you know? So one of the reasons why he did it was he loves golf. He loves being outside. He loves the weather and this and that. And it gives him a good opportunity to be in a better role in management. And he has a house down there, so... It wasn't a kick in the ass towards the Boston organization or the community. It was just better for him and his family at the time.
Dude, it was a purely a golf decision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would too. Do you play?
Do I golf?
Yeah.
I get out there. I do a little bit more drinking. My 7-year-old son, he's like in the golf. So we go putt putting more so than golf.
Oh, that's awesome.
I keep telling him, I'm like, dude, you have the athletic ability cruising through your body. Why not just be a golfer, dude?
Yeah, money kid.
Yeah, just go fucking make tons of cash.
Yeah. And who's the kid that is on the beginning of the show?
That's my son.
That's the 7-year-old?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's not him at 7, but yeah, that's.
That's pretty cool, man.
That was as soon as he lost his front teeth, I was like, dude, you have to do me a favor and record this so I can use it for my fucking... And he won't come on the podcast. I keep wanting him to come on and talk about some of his favorite hockey players, but he won't fucking do it.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I had to... When my buddy Shane made the intro for me, he's like, you got to put this in here. It's fucking crucial. I love it.
That's awesome.
Speaking of seven-year-olds, Charlie McAvoy.
Unbelievable player.
Right,
you could definitely see it in college, and I did. I happened to go to a bunch of BU games when they were close by where I live in northern Massachusetts to Merrimack College. The skill set, the vision, the body, speed, transition is unbelievable, and he's got a great package to work with and develop. And he's just at that right age. And, you know, defensemen are obviously, I think they mature a little faster. Obviously faster than goaltenders, because look how freaking ugly Tuukka is. you know, I think he's going to be a great addition.
He'll still be a rookie, right?
He's just playing in the playoffs last year.
Did he go over?
I think he burnt a year, so it's going to be. I think his entry level is now 2 years instead of three.
I was just going to say, if not, he's got to be a favorite for the Calder this year if he hadn't played.
A lot of people are saying that. You know, just by the way that Eric Carlson, that class act in Ottawa, was in the handshake line when they just ended our hopes of moving on to a second round. You could see the class that he was like, you know, kid, you got it, and you're going to be a great defenseman in this league. I mean, literally stopped, and they chatted in the freaking handshake line.
Well, he played the bulk of his games in that playoff series was like...
Yeah, like 26, 27 minutes. I mean, a lot, and even upwards of 30 to 35, because there was a lot of games that they went to overtime.
Oh, yeah. What I see about his game is, I don't know if I want to say puck handling, but his ability... to stay calm with that puck and go through traffic and
transition possession,
dude,
it's unbelievable,
dude. It's
class act.
Holy shit! You don't see it like that. He's on a different fucking. He's gonna be a fucking freak, a beast. He's so smooth out there.
One of the reasons why. I mean, I honestly, like, as a draft guy, I was looking at Dante Fabro out of Picton, the BC League. As their pick, I just thought that he was a little better. But when they picked him, and then I got to see a lot more of him because he was part of the Bruins, I was like, "What was I fucking thinking?"
Did you watch? Do you watch the junior championships?
I watch Evan. I'm gonna tweet you a picture. I'm gonna tweet you my office and my studio. It's freaking nasty. I got like freaking six screens that I stream and I watch Bruins and then every college. Or Canadian junior, anything I can get my hands on, I'm watching.
Dude, I'm moving in.
It's funny. It's bad, but
I'm fucking moving in, dude. That sounds perfect.
I'll pick up the wife's office out of there. Get a computer and a desk out.
All I need is a fucking mini fridge full of Labatts, dude, and you won't even notice I'm in there.
Oh, Labatts. I wanted to tell you, I love that beer. I absolutely love that beer, but it got me into so much trouble.
Yeah, that's what they make it for, dude.
I know.
There's something about a Labatt out of a cooler with ice in it that will just it just fucking like changes my blood or something. Like I've turned into a goddamn animal.
When I get my minor league hockey used to be with the Manchester Monarchs when they were in the American Hockey League, and then you know that the transition and to get minor pro affiliates closer to the team due to closer proximity for call-ups and price. I mean, flying players around is not cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
So getting your players closer to you was important. But I was a season ticket holder for a year up in Manchester, the LA Kings affiliate at the time. And, boy, they had coolers of Labatt on ice. And it was freaking amazing. The Tallies.
Oh, dude. I told a story a couple weeks ago on the podcast that I had to have the local grocery store here start special.
Gosh, I heard that.
It's get me the, but they won't. All they'll order me is two cases of beer. They won't get me the fucking tall boys or like.
Oh, no shit, huh?
I'm like, boy, sometimes I can't come home with 24 beers. Like, I got a wife and kids. I just let me get a tall boy then every now and again. But they won't fucking. The owner was this fucking jackass. I went in there and was like, hey, can you start ordering cases of Labatt for me, please? And he goes, what's a case of beer? So what the fuck are you talking? 24 beers in a fucking in a case, not a six pack, not a 12 pack. I need a case of beer, dude. I was like, Jesus Christ, how do you own a fucking store? I said, I should kick your fucking ass right now.
Must be single digit ordering.
Oh, dude, but he gets it, and I fucking buy him, and but they won't put him in the fucking cooler for me either. So I got to get him home, drink half of them warm before.
That's not good.
Ah, but ain't gonna stop me.
Make it work, though, right, brother?
No, but what I was saying, this last junior tournament, watching McAvoy play was like, it's scary, dude, how good he was. And I hadn't really heard of the kid before that. They were so good that like when it came time, we do the Biscuit College Hockey, the Frozen Four tournament. I thought for sure, dude, with him on the team, I was like, dude, fucking, they're gold. They're winning the national championship for sure.
Yeah, B didn't do very good this year. I mean, they got to a really decent point in the playoffs, but you know, the Frozen Four getting there was a little tough.
The first fucking round two with that game, what was it against South Dakota, where it's double overtime and. Seemed like the game was like 4 hours long. I think both teams took a huge dump after that. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there was much of a chance after that. Like that, and that was just crazy too. Like the offsides, if you recall, and it was crazy. It was the right call, but that was a crazy fucking game.
One thing I worried about him, and like you were talking about when you brought up Pasternak and you brought up all those names before that, you know. It's good to have all these prospects in the system for the Boston team. It really is. I mean, it sucks that they've had to go through a couple of years of no playoffs to get these kind of guys and trade some decent assets to create more availability to build through the system and do it right, build the winner right. But my thing is to look at the next couple of years and look at all these players that are going to come up for contracts. I mean...
Yeah, you can't. You're not going to be able to keep them all.
Seriously, look at cap friendly. Look at when McAvoy comes in, and look at everybody else on that draft class that is going to be needing a contract or an extension, and it's scary. This could happen all over again. This could happen all over again. This the Pasternak issue could happen for the next 4 years. Somebody could be a dink and freaking just hold out and be like, oh, I want this, I want that. And, you know, hey, you might be worth it. I understand that. But I'm telling you, a fan base is going to explode if something happens.
That's when you send Chara in, who's working in the front office, and he goes, listen, I sold you your house. I'm going to fucking burn it down, you know, and kill your whole family if you don't stay. You know, we got to start shaking some of these dudes down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And McAvoy, he's a fucking American. Is he from Massachusetts?
No, he's from New York. He's from the Long Island area. And he was not a Bruins fan at all, which is weird. If you look back at his, do a Charlie McAvoy hates the Bruins Twitter. And it comes up that he's like, I hate the Bruins. But this was 3 or 4 years before he was drafted.
Dude, it's funny to see some of these guys that, you know, we didn't have Twitter when we were younger, so we didn't have, like, the opportunity to make one when we were 13. But, like, you'll see one, like, at Austin Matthews' Twitter name's, like, AMAAA3344, like, or, like, CuteDude69, and you're like, oh, these guys had no fucking idea, like, that they were going to become professional athletes and should have just made it, you know, Austin Matthews or Charlie McAvoy. I think like Matthew Tkachuk's is like ChuckEcheese.com or some fucking.
That's terrible.
And you're like,
he's a badass too,
dude. He's
a really badass.
He is one of my fucking favorite young dudes in the league.
I didn't grow up, but I grew up near Melrose, where Keith grew up, his father.
Okay. And he gives zero fucks, dude. He gives zero fucks. Like, if he's starting fights with that fucking cunt out in L.A., that what Dowdy just runs his fucking pussy lips all the time. But he never fucking backs it up. And then Kachuk was like, well, dude, fuck you. Check this elbow out, dude.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, he got some time for that, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was fucking worth it. I hope he does it again. Their fucking first game they play each other. I hope he. And Calgary's looking fucking tough, bud.
Yeah, definitely opening up their goaltending options a little bit with bringing in Mike Smith. And I'm not a big, huge fan of Mike Smith, but this might be something that is beneficial to him, getting out of an area that seemingly is just not going anywhere. You know, they got in the playoffs the first time, and I don't know how long, but coming to Calgary with a crew like Goudreau and then defense in front of them.
Oh,
I mean,
fuck, dude.
It's got to help out, you know what I mean?
Dude, I was thinking that same thing. I was like, man, yeah, Mike Smith was an all-star last year, but he was on Arizona where they had to send somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, he's a fucking wild man back there, but like you said, the changeup might be good for him. And, I mean, he has played.
Dubnyk was a totally different animal once he got out of freaking Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. Look at him now, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, so I liked Elliott there, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I can't believe Philly picked him up. Philly has the worst luck with goaltenders.
Philly, you fucking Steve Mason. Holy shit, dude. What the fuck? Dude, he is such a human turd. You fucking win the Calder Cup, and then you just never play good goalie again.
Yeah.
Not for two games in a row, at least.
In regards to that, brother, we are separated at birth, I'm telling you. Andy Raycroft did that as a Bruin.
Yeah, what the fuck?
We won the Calder, we were all psyched, and the next year it's like, is fucking Andrew showing up at all?
The second Columbus paid Steve Mason, I don't know if it was like a cocaine problem or something, like he just stopped playing goalie. And that was it. And then so we got sent to fucking Philly, got Bobrovsky, and, you know, fuck you.
Right. It's crazy.
Bud, 44-31-7 last year, losing the first round of the playoffs. What do you predict is going to happen this season with your Boston Bruins?
Well, with the very minimal moves over the summer, they're pretty much going to be the same team. I'm going to put them in the range of missing the playoffs by a couple points.
I agree, dude.
Or making it into the first round, but not lasting. If they did go out and make, I mean, I understand the situations and all the angles, Pasternak and youth movement and taking a chance in the gamble, but without doing major moves to adjust certain areas of need, I see them as the same. So pretty much the same area.
I think with a healthy Tampa Bay, you know, Carey Price being Carey Price and Toronto, I think Boston's going to be on the outside looking in. And it's always possible to have two Metro teams in that fucking wild card too, you know?
Yep. Oh, and the Metro, man, last year was nasty for that division. And it's just going to get nastier. I mean, I predict for the next 4 or 5 years, that is going to be the top division out of the whole NHL.
The Metro seems fucking insane this year. Like, with the Hurricanes getting good, you know, if Philly can play with Elliott as a goaltender, I mean, they're not fucking slouches.
No, and Philly to me right now is not where I expect them, but let me tell you something. They have the highest prospect rank in the league. They have the best.
That's my daughter saying hello. She had to come out of the studio real quick.
Hello.
She goes belly because I'm sitting out. It's hot as fuck in my studio, so I've got no shirt on, sitting out here slamming beers.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, though. What were you saying, my man?
I hope do, but
Well,
I was going to say Philly has the best prospect pool available right now. Watch out for them in like 2 or 3 years because they're going to be nasty. Once you get rid of players like Giroux, Simmons, and their millions of dollars, these guys, these kids are going to step right in really nicely, and definitely Philly. Watch out for Philly later on in about 4 or 5 years.
I agree, dude. And then it's just that it's the fucking Metro is a little much, but I think Boston is. If it is, it's going to be, I think, a third or the wild card, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm predicting, too. It all depends on how Montreal responds this year. And like you said, you touched on, was a healthy Tampa Bay. Stephen Stamkos coming back, and he seems to be ready to go. You know, if he's ready, you definitely have to put them in the classes and at least a 1 and 2.
Yeah, but I remember last year them saying he was ready, too, you know?
Yeah, and then look what happened.
Right, so he might just be a fucking dude that gets hurt, you know. And there really aren't fucking as much talent as on that team. They're not much of shit without Stamkos. So he's like he makes that team tick.
But when you lose a player like him and you struggle in the offense, it's nice to have that defensive core behind him with like Hedman and so on.
Yeah,
that's a pretty scary freaking defense.
Well, and then they added that boy from Montreal too in the Drouin trade.
Yes,
and he's supposed to be a little freak, isn't he?
Oh, I knew who you were talking about too.
He's that fucking Shipachevkek fucking name.
Yeah, Shipachev.
Yeah, that's it, dude. And I was just fucking spouting.
That's awesome. No, he could definitely make the roster right out of camp. But, I mean, that's what they're predicting right now, and it'll be a landslide if he doesn't. So,
Mark, I need you 3 stars, dude, of the Boston Bruins 2017-18 season for you and the Black and Gold podcast.
I am going to go. My 3rd star this year is going to be Charlie McAvoy.
I like it.
My 2nd star is going to be Patrice Bergeron.
Of course, right?
Yeah, and my 1st star is definitely David Pastrnak.
I thought you were going to say fucking Tuukka Rask. I was going to get so pissed.
I was thinking about doing that with the 3, but we had a really good discussion, and I like you, dude. So I was like, you know, I'm going to leave that one until you say something bad, and I come back and tweet you, be like, oh, I can't believe you said that.
Dude, he looks like, and I don't mean to shit on him too much, because he's a fucking...
Don't worry about it, man.
But he looks like the dude from that Cher movie, The Mask. he just fucking does, dude. You know what? And I'm telling you,
snorted beer.
Boston fans, do not sleep on Anders Bjork, man. That dude is going to make that team out if it's not sooner than later. And he's going to be productive, I think, for the Bees.
I'm going to be at camp, so I'll get some video. I'll pay a lot of attention to him, and I'll do some Facebook Live and so on, or some Twitter Live, and I'll get you involved.
Fuck yeah, dude.
The kid's amazing. I mean, like I wanted to tell you earlier, and I'll just say it real quick. The 4-on-4 short ice tournament at the development camp, which basically is they take the 2 nets and they put them in the face-off circles.
Oh, shit.
At each end. Yeah, and so he was amazing. His stick work in traffic like that. I mean, seriously, you cannot move because there's a player on your fucking ass.
Yeah, dude.
He was dangling all around them, and his one-timer was absolutely fucking amazing.
Does Boston get invited to that Traverse City tournament that Detroit throws?
No, that's more towards like... the central, like the Chicago's, the Detroit's, and blah blah blah, and that area, those pro teams. Up here, we invited to the Prospect Challenge, which is held in Buffalo, when hosted by the Buffalo Sabres. And this year, the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be involved, along with Bruins, Buffalo, and the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the wife and I are going to head up to Traverse City next year, so next September, to go to that, watch the young boys play there in that tournament.
I heard it was crazy up there. I wish I could get out there to see it, but there's not enough Bruins out there to, like,
Well, my wife's from Michigan, so I'm like, well, we can drop the kids off at your mom's house and, you know, go tie a good one on and watch some fucking hockey.
Right. Go ask another store owner to, like, buy you some Labatts.
Yeah. Up there, it's not an issue, man. Michigan's fucking riddled with Labatts, dude. If you go to the store, you know, and they don't have it, it's fucking weird.
Well, you can get over the border real quick in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see how bad that's readily available.
Mark, you're a fucking champion, dude. I got to say it. I love you, dude. This was amazing. Awesome. This is a good time.
Thank you so much. I was really excited when you asked me to do it. I responded to you. I'm like, hey, I'll jump on that.
I was like, fuck and yeah, you will.
I was like, I'm looking forward to it because I don't know exactly when I subscribed to your podcast, but it was. How long have you been doing it?
A year.
A year. Okay, so I want to say that I've probably been on for at least 6 or 7 months. And yeah, I'm gonna tell you. Your progression upwards has been freaking phenomenal. So I love Thanks. The program. It's on my. I subscribe to 90 a week to get me through my work week. So
thanks, buddy.
You're definitely in the top 10, brother. I love this freaking program.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, we're trying to. You know, I love talking hockey, and I can't help but drink a little bit. So it turns into. There's too many. Like hockey player podcasts where they just give you the answer that you know it's coming. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, my show is that way.
No, it's not unfortunate at all, dude.
No, I love what we do because, you know, we cater to a certain crowd. We do have a bunch of listeners and so on, but I really like coming on this program because I can, like...
You cut loose really a little like, bit, man. I like how...
You, man.
Yeah, because there's a lot of dudes that have jobs and, you know, family, and you can't say certain shit that right. where people know who, you know what I mean? So I'm glad to be that outlet and...
release, man. Absolutely. If you ever want to talk anything like you, dude, I'm available. I'm fully versed in a lot of the areas around the NHL and minor league hockey. And
oh, you're coming back on... For sure, probably during World Junior Championships. For sure,
yes, yes,
for sure, dude. I do want to thank your followers and listeners too, because I have had a slew of goddamn people follow the biscuit over the last 2 or 3 days with, you know, nothing but Boston Bees and their fucking avatars. So I mean, I know that's not from me. So I do want to thank you for that too, my man.
No problem, dude. I'm a busy guy. I do my writings. I do the podcast. I do a lot of research. So when I can sit back during the off season and promote and push anybody that deserves to be followed, in my opinion, I'm going to do it.
Hell yeah! So Mark Alford Jr. Black and Gold Podcast. Black and Gold is it .com?
That's Black and Gold hockeyblog.com. You can follow me, my personal account at Black and Gold 277. They can also follow my co-hosts if I can plug them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Court Lalonde is at Court Lalonde, and my buddy Rob Tomlin is at Rob40 Bruins.
And all your guys' fucking Twitters are great, man. I love the community we've been building, dude. It's been a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah, I love our show because we do three countries. It's not we're not all together. We are in Canada, and we are actually in the UK.
No Court, shit.
Court's in Toronto, and Rob's in the United Kingdom. He's a huge Bruins fan, and the kid can drop some knowledge, brother. Seriously. And you know how we learned all that knowledge?
What's that?
Sega Genesis 1994.
Dude, what's with these mother... The same thing with the beard, dude. That's like...
Yeah, man. I heard on the podcast, I'm like... Oh my God, that's freaking Rob.
That is like, that's the UK. Hey, thank God for fucking hockey video games then, you know?
Exactly. I'm going to tell you, the passion over there is unbelievable. I'm in a couple Facebook UK groups, and UK Bruins, and a bunch of other ones. They love hockey over there.
Dude, That kid's got to be a fucking beast to, because that time difference is fucking gnarly, to be hopping on the podcast with you guys.
We record every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Excuse me. And he's 5 hours ahead, so
I guess he's a trooper. All right, dude. Fucking the only Bruins fan I like on the planet, dude.
I love it. Officially part of the crew.
Fuck yeah, man. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I love the show. Keep up the great work.
Fucking A. Party on.